This is HPR episode 2739 entitled Bash Tips 19 and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 26 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Erasing Bash Part 4.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm doing Bash Tips number 19, and I'm still talking about arrays, and this is part 4, but it's the last in the group about arrays. Do I hear a sigh of relief? So in the last show we looked at parameter expansion in the context of arrays. There's more that could be said about that, but I think I'll probably not say any more, unless I'm called to do so in the future. In this episode, I want to look at the command we've already seen in brief called declare. And it's also got a synonym, which is typeset. And then there's some other related commands, read-only and local. And there's a couple more that allow you to load data into arrays, which are called map file, with the synonym readarray, and read, which we've seen in passing several times. So declare, or typeset, it's there because the synonym is there because that's what it's called in the corn shell, and so it was been added to Bash for that reason. So we've seen how you use declare to create arrays and so forth, but it's used generically to create variables and to give them attributes. There are a whole list of options to declare, but rather than going through them all, which I don't think I need to do really, I thought I'd just spend a little bit of time looking at the ones that relate to arrays, partly because I found them quite interesting to discover a few year or two back when I was first started playing around with arrays. Now, this command is a little odd. Not many commands do this. The options usually consist of a hyphen followed by a single letter. Quite common in Unix to do it that way. But some of them, you can reverse their effect by replacing the hyphen with the plus sign, which is all fine and nice and stuff, but it's a bit confusing because there's not much else that you can do that with. Anyway, let's start with an option you're probably not going to use very much, but I think it's quite cool, so I thought I'd mention it. It's the hyphen I, lowercase I, option. And what that does is make the variable you're declaring, which array is what we're thinking about here, behave as if it's an integer, only an integer. And whenever you assign anything to it, an arithmetic evaluation is performed as if it was inside the double parentheses, which we've talked about in this series. So I thought the easiest way to explain this was to put together a downloadable script, which is called bash19_ex1.sh, and it shows what you can do with an array declared this way. So just to go through it briefly, because I think it's pretty well self-documenting, there's a lot of comments in it. I'm declaring two arrays. One is called ints, I-N-T-S, and it's declared with hyphen A and then hyphen I, and the name ints. Ints are integers. Then I've declared another one, hyphen A, and I've called the array norm, because it's just an ordinary array. Indexed arrays in both cases. So I put into ints a couple of values in by putting an assignment statement, ints equals, and then open parentheses, and a couple of things being added there. And the two things I'm adding are a couple of expressions in quotes. So they're quoted as strings, effectively, but they're numeric expressions within them. So we've got 38% 7. So it's using the modulo operator, which divides by 7 and gives you the remainder. And then the next one is in quotes 38/7, which is dividing, doing integer division on 38. And the norm array gets the same stuff. Then for each of the arrays, I add a string to the end of it. So I've put the string jellyfish onto the end of each one using the append operator, so the plus equals to append another value to the end of the array, just so you can see what the effects are. Then the script echoes the contents of ints and the contents of norm to show you what you get. Well, with ints, you get the values 3, 5, and 0, because the value of 38 mod 7 is 3, and 38 divided by 7 is 5, and then the value of the string jellyfish, because it's not numeric, is treated as 0. Anything that's not numeric, any string that's not numeric, is regarded as a 0, which seems sensible. I think we covered this reasonably comprehensively in when we were talking about arithmetic expressions and stuff. When you come to look at the contents of the array norm, then it's just got the strings 38 space percent space 7 in one element, 38 space slash space 7 in the next, and jellyfish in the last one. So that's all, really. It's pretty straightforward stuff, but quite useful, I would say. Then we come to the hyphen L and the hyphen U, both lowercase letters. These options force any alphabetic characters that you store in this array, it forces them to lowercase in the case of hyphen L, or uppercase in the case of hyphen U. So obviously, when you declare these things, you only declare one of these at a time. So this is mildly useful. I've never used it myself. I don't see a use for it personally. There you go. The last option I want to mention is hyphen lowercase r. Now what this does is it makes whatever you declare read-only. So when you are declaring them, you also have to initialize them, because you can't change their contents at all afterwards. So it's a way of declaring constants. And I've got an example that sets a simple variable, not an array in this case, but the same applies to arrays. I've declared hyphen IR. You can concatenate these options, by the way. So the I means it's an integer, the R means it's read-only, and I've called it 6th prime, and I set it to 13, because that is the 6th prime. Then I try and set 6th prime to 17, and I get back the error message, bash colon 6th prime colon read-only variable. Now, you'd think, well, can I turn off the read-only capability? So try declare plus lowercase r 6th prime, which by rights should turn off the read-only thing. But because it's read-only, I guess the logic is you can't do it, and you get back an error message. Just in passing, there is a command which comes from the Bourne shell, which is equivalent to declare hyphen r. And it is read-only. So it takes some of the options that declare takes, and it lets you create arrays and variables and stuff, which are read-only. So it's doing the same thing, really. It's just that bash is a sort of a blend of the older Bourne shell. That's why it's called Bourne again shell, of course. I think I've said this before. The next command is the local command. It takes the same options and types of arguments as declare, but you're only allowed to use it within a function. So if you're creating a function, declaring a function, then you can use the local command to create variables and stuff within it. Now, I have demonstrated this when I've talked in other shows about creating functions. But in this particular subseries, I haven't really explained functions in detail. So I'll leave the rest of the use of local to that when I get to that. But the point of it is that it makes the variables that you declare local to the function. So they work within the function, but as soon as the function exits, they vanish. So it's like other programming languages. Now we move on to what I think is a very, very useful command, which I didn't know about until maybe earlier this year, I think. Never used it much myself, but now I've discovered it and understood it, find it extremely useful, and it's map file, which has the synonym read array. So what this does is it reads lines from standard input and puts them in an indexed array. It can also read from a file descriptor, which is a way of connecting bits of a script to a file. But I haven't looked at this yet. I plan to talk about this in an upcoming show. It's on the to-do list anyway. So I'll leave that. I won't talk about it here, just to mention that it exists. So I've prepared a command syntax diagram-y thing, which shows all of the options and what you can follow them with, which I've grabbed from the GNU Bash manual, included in the long notes here. And all of the options and arguments are optional, in fact. I also made a table of all of these options where I explain what they do. Just to talk about them briefly, you can change what delimiter terminates each input line. In other words, define a different end of line. A bit like the way you can do stuff like that in awk. You can control how many, and that's with the hyphen D delimiter option. You can define how many lines are to be read. So if you're offering map file, a file, and you only want to read the first few lines from it, then you can control that. And that is with the hyphen N option with a numerical count after it. If the count is zero, then all the lines are read. And if the hyphen N option is not used at all, then it reads the entirety of the file. You can change where the lines are written into your array, because normally they will clear the array and will start at zero to write values in. And that's done with hyphen capital O and then the numerical origin that you want to write to. You can, if you wish, skip a number of lines from your data source, from your file, with hyphen lowercase s and then a number, a count. And here's the thing I think is quite nice. The hyphen t option, which doesn't have an parameter to it, you can remove whatever the delimiter is from each line. So if you're reading stuff separated by new lines, which is a pretty common scenario, using hyphen t will throw away the new line. So when you come to list out the contents of your array, you don't end up with new lines after each element. The hyphen lowercase u is followed by a file descriptor, but I'll not talk about that for now. But it changes what source the map file reads from rather than from standard input. Then there are two things that I have played around with, but I don't know how useful they're going to be. There's hyphen capital C followed by a callback. A callback is either an expression or a function which is going to be called by the map file command every time a certain number of lines are read. The number of lines is called the quantum, and that's defined by the next option, which is hyphen lowercase c and a number. So if you don't have the lowercase c number thing, then it's every 5,000 lines that you've read in, but you can change that. I've got an example coming up to demonstrate this. So the final argument to the map file command is the name of the array. That's where the lines can be written. You need to have created the array first. If you don't specify an array, then there's a built-in array called map file in uppercase into which stuff will be written. And here it's quite an interesting thing that when the callback is invoked, whether it be a function or whatever, then it is given two values. The first one is the index of the next array element that's going to be assigned, and then the line that's going to be assigned to it. The callback function or expression is evaluated after the line is read, but before the array element is assigned. So you could use that to filter stuff out if you really wanted to. You could do some quite clever stuff in there. I haven't experimented with that very much, but I do have an example of using it coming up. So there's a downloadable script that demonstrates some of the features of map file, and that's bash19_ex2, which is moderately long, actually. Now I come to look at it, got a bit carried away. But I just threw in a bunch of things that you could do to fill an array using map file. And I've alluded to this along the way because I've been filling arrays in loops and it's not necessarily the best way of doing it. So in my script, I'm declaring an index array called map and then call map file with the hyphen T option and the array name map. And I'm feeding it through a redirection. So it's using a less than sign to redirect from the next thing. And I'm using one of these process substitution things, which is a less than sign and then commands in parentheses. And what I've got in the parentheses is a for loop, which goes for I in and then a brace expansion of 1 to 10. So it's going to iterate through values 1 to 10, setting I to each one, and then semicolon do. Then the actual meat of this loop is an echo. We're echoing $random, random being the uppercase variable name, which gives you a different random number each time you call it. Semicolon done, and that's the close parenthesis. So what that will do is it will fill the array with 10 random numbers, and it, because we're using echo in the loop, it will be generating a new line, but mapfile needs the new line in order to tell where one line ends and the next begins. But I've told mapfile to throw it away when it stores. So I then use an echo to print out the contents of this map array using the syntax for print out an entire array using the asterisk as the index. And you can see that later on in the notes. I just run it and put the result. It's just a list of 10 random numbers on one line. Next thing, define a string. Just put in a simple variable called words. And what I did was I put a few lines from Wordsworth poem in there where all the spaces had been replaced by underscores. It's really just to demonstrate how you could use alternative delimiters. So I wandered lonely as a cloud and all that stuff is in there. Then the map file command that plays with that uses hyphen lowercase d and follows that with an underscore. So the delimiter is the underscore between each word. And I use hyphen t to strip off the underscores, and I put it into an array called daffs, D-A-F-F-S, because it's about daffodils. Oh, I forgot to say I declared it before. So what that does is another process substitution, which simply echoes the string called words without a trailing new line. It uses echo hyphen n to do. So that will load up, using mapfile, it will load up daffs with all of these words, one per element, and we'll have removed the underscores as it's doing it. And there you go. And then I'll echo the contents out again. And you can see after the script, there's some example output from it where it prints out the words of the poem all online. The final demonstration in this script is to declare another indexed array, which I called big in this case, because it's going to contain many contents, many elements, well, 100, I suppose. Then I use map file with hyphen t, lowercase t that is, and then hyphen capital C. And following capital C is a printf. So the printf statement has a format which consists of %02d space %s backslash n. And what that will do is it will expect two arguments, first of which it will treat as a number and print it out with two decimal places leading zero, and the second one it will just treat as a string. So that's all in double quotes. Then the next option is hyphen lowercase c followed by the number 10. So the quantum is going to be 10. Every 10 lines that it gets, it will invoke that callback. And then the name of the array is big. We're using the same structure again of a less than sign to redirect and then process substitution, less than sign, and then bracketed list. And we're using the ever-present printing or extraction of words from user share dict words. This time I've used shuff and asked for 100 words. So the final bit of this script simply echoes the contents of the array. We should have been seeing stuff going into the array as the map file was being invoked, but I'm printing them out as well. So the first thing that's printed out is the number of elements that we got in this array called big, and then the second thing is a for loop, which begins setting I to 9 and iterating until it reaches the number of elements in the big array, and then we're incrementing the number by 10 at each iteration. And inside we're using pretty much the same printf command, where we're same format anyway, so I won't read it out again. It's printing a number and then a string, and the number is coming from the variable I, and the string is coming from the array element, the ith rail. So when you run this, you get, remember, we're getting random words out of it, so what I'm seeing on the screen won't necessarily be what you'll see in the notes, because I'll probably run them again before I submit the show. But there's a list of elements that are going into the array, every tenth element. So the first one is 0. First one that will be added to the array will be the 0th, and that won't be shown. But then the next one, the 10th element, will be the one with the index of 9, and we get a word out, and then the 19th, another word, and so forth, up to word number 99. And the loop does pretty much the same. It says there are 100 elements, and it prints out the same stuff. So that was just really a demonstration of what you can do with Mapfile. Personally, I now use Mapfile to load arrays pretty much all the time when I'm doing this type of thing. So I find it amazing and useful. Hope you feel the same way about it. So the final bit of this show is to mention the read command. We've used read loads and loads of time and all sorts of examples in this Bash tip series, but we haven't looked at the option which is hyphen lowercase a followed by a name. What that does is to load an array, and the array is named with whatever you put instead of name. But because read reads one line at a time, then we're assuming that all of the words that are going to the array are all on a line. And more to the point, the array is, if you keep nominating the same array, then the array will be overwritten each time read is called with the same array name. So if you were doing this in a loop, you'd have to be very careful with doing it for that reason. All of the words to go into the array need to be on the one line, and the words on the line are split up using the word splitting process that we described in episode 2045. We were talking about the whole subject of expansion, and word splitting is one of the things that happens when a command or a file spec is being expanded, and it was described in that. So I've created a third downloadable script, bash19_ex3.sh, which has a little demonstration of the use of read with this particular option. I'll talk more about the other options later on, I think. I don't have a particular slot to do this, but I'll talk about them in passing, I think, as I go forward with this series. So in this script, we start by declaring an indexed array, which in this case I've called readTest. Now, I thought there are ways in which you could present a read with a single line, but read is normally reading from standard in, which means you would have to type this stuff. It's not a straightforward thing to put it within the script, though it is possible, but we haven't really covered what this would require yet, so I'm not doing it the way that you might do if you were doing this for real. I've just done a sort of demonstration of generating some data on standard in and poking it into an array. The read consists of read space hyphen lowercase r. That's the thing that takes away the meta status of backslash, things like backslash n and so forth. Basically ignores them in the, it doesn't give them their special meaning. Then that's followed by space hyphen lowercase a, and then read test is the name of the array. So that's That's the read command we want to do. We're going to read a line and put it into read test, which is an array. So this one is using the same stuff as we've been using in previous examples in this episode. It's using a less than sign to redirect some stuff from a data source. And the data source is another one of these process substitution, less than sign, open parenthesis, some stuff inside the parentheses, close parentheses. And what we have inside this, inside these parentheses, is a for loop. We're setting for C in, and then we're using a double brace expansion. The first brace expansion is capital A to capital J. That's the first 10 letters of the alphabet, uppercase. Then in the next set of braces, 1.3. So you'll recall from when we talked about brace expansion that this will generate sequences like A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3, etc. But each time round this loop, and I'm not reading out the minute details of this, we echo the contents of $C, the variable C, but we do it with echo hyphen N, which suppresses the new line, because we want just one line to come out of this thing. Okay, so this will generate this list of A1, A2, A3 stuff, which will then be fed into the array. So to demonstrate what actually happens, simply echo out the number of elements that are in the array, which will be 30, because 10 times 3 is 30, and then echo out the contents. So as I said, we get A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3, C1, C2, C3, etc. Ad nauseam. So hopefully that demonstrates the purpose of this quite well. So with that said, that is the end of this particular episode and of the subsection talking about arrays. And I'm going to give the Bash Tips series a little bit of a rest now for a month or two while I do something else, because you're probably bored sick of it, and I could do with a bit of a change as well. So, but I'll come back to it in due course. Okay then, bye bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.